Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
As usually is on the Jesus 911 is, behold the cross of the Lord, be gone all you evil powers, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David has conquered, amen, hallelujah, amen. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Jesus 911. My name is Sergeant Eddie Chavez, retired, California Highway Patrol, and today I'm a king car, solo car. We are 10-8. We're here to give you a spiritual, spiritual weapons and tactics briefing. And just to let you know, CHP now stands for charity, humility, and piety, changing hearts periodically, and Catholics helping people. And Jess and Ruben have their own LASD acronym. I won't get into that. But they are both off today. They're, Jess is doing some training, and he'll be back on Monday to give us a full report on everything that he learned, and Ruben will be back next week also. So welcome again to Jesus 911. We're going to later on talk about a couple of stories that I think are pretty interesting, getting more and more prevalent in today's society. One of them is drag queens, which are becoming more and more popular at libraries for some reason. We'll explore that. And then later on, we'll give you some of the answers to this question. I'm going to talk about abortion here in a minute, but give you some of the answers of how we combat those things. So that's what we're going to do today. A few weeks ago, ladies and gentlemen, there was a young lady, and we seem to hear more and more about this as time goes on, as we get into this, you know, the depths that get a more in-depth view of this society. But there's been a rash of college students, of young women that are away from home and are injured or killed by men. And this is one of those stories. The article is entitled "Old Mississippi Student Killed Because She Wouldn't Abort Her Baby." So the website, which I've included the link to the website, you can get on there and see a picture of her. She's one of the more recent ones, but this is what the story says. It's very, you know, as time goes on, we get a little insight into some of these law enforcement cases, and I'm always interested in them. That I was involved in them for most of my life, and there's reasons that people do things, and this one's going to become very clear for us here in a second. But this is what it says. It says, Alexandria Ali Costil was a business student at the University of Mississippi. Her college friends confirmed to the UK's Daily Mail that the 21-year-old girl was pregnant with her accused killer's child. So the Daily Mail reported today that a fellow old Mississippi student told them her sorority sisters knew she was pregnant and that she had told accused killer, the father of her baby, and that he had become very upset about this, that it would ruin his life and his future. He was really mad that she wouldn't get an abortion. Her response to him was, "No, I don't believe in that." Investigators have been pretty tight-lipped about the possible motives here for her murder, but now it appears as though it could have been because she was allegedly pregnant with the baby fathered, and his name was Brandon Thiesfeld, and she refused to have an abortion. Another student alleged that Allie had been trying to induce a miscarriage rather than have a surgical abortion. So this is what it says. She was really upset because she was pregnant and she had been trying to get rid of her child through unhealthy ways. For example, going out, drinking a lot, experimenting with drugs. Somebody said she was actually 17 weeks pregnant and she was not handling it well. Brandon, her accused killer, Brandon Thiesfeld, found out, but he was already dating somebody else. That's what one of the students said. So I kind of wanted to get a up close look at what this young girl was going through. So here's a young girl focusing on the reality of what's happening to her morally, spiritually. And she's understanding that what's going on in here is a ticking time bomb, essentially. What she's dealing with is an ex-boyfriend who wants her to have an abortion, and she just won't do it. She doesn't believe in that. So I feel so sorry for women like this, because she must have been so confused to try and get it resolved by living recklessly. She realizes that he probably won't be involved. She's trying to weigh it back and forth. And how serious is this, that a girl who is in college and troubled to this point, she's so troubled that she's out drinking and experimenting with drugs, hoping that some way her body will naturally reject the child. Her parents are probably unaware of what's happening with her. She's away from home. Most girls would be on birth control to avoid this situation, but not her. Allie was not on birth control, apparently. And other girls would be anxious to get the abortion done, with or without the agreement of the father, and get on with their lives. They had college going on too much, but not Allie. Allie was worried about it. The article goes on. It says, he wanted her to get an abortion. I think morally, she did not want to do it. On July 20, 2019, the college student was found dead by Sardis Lake in Lafayette County, Mississippi, 20 miles from the campus, by a police officer on patrol. Costiel, Allie, had been shot multiple times. 2 days later, 22-year-old Brandon Thiesfeld of Fort Worth, Texas, also a business student there at Ole, Mississippi, was arrested and charged with her murder. Friends reported that Thiesfeld and Costiel had a tumultuous on-again, off-again relationship, and one of the young man's dorm mates told the media that Thiesfeld was a daddy's boy who peppered his conversation with misogynist comments. Rex Ravita, old Mississippi journalist student, told Fox News that he had found the young man extremely rude and privileged. He had no respect for women, Ravita added, and somebody does something like this, they have to have no respect for women. Ravita told CBS affiliate KMOV that Thiesfeld had bragged about his father's wealth and influence. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, he said. He was pretty much a daddy's boy type, constantly had to reference his father's money and how his dad could get him out of just about anything. Just that attitude all the time. Any type of vulgar comment he would say, any type of rude comment to anybody in our dorm, any of the women. So he's directing all these comments in his dorm before the murder against women. This next paragraph, what to me reveals the type of individual Mr. Thiesfeld is, Brandon, the 22-year-old that was arrested for her murder, and her father. This is what it says. Dr. Daniel Thiesfeld, Brandon's father, has released a statement saying that his son is innocent of Costiel's murder and has hired high-powered Mississippi lawyers to defend him. Costiel was laid to rest Saturday in her hometown of St. Louis, Missouri. The University of Mississippi has suspended Thiesfeld. You know, as I think about this whole story, I think about the times when I spent most of my Wednesdays before coming here to the studios, before Jesus 911 began, at the abortion clinic, where the Protestants were in the driveway, and me, myself, and the rest of the Catholics were in the front at the main entrance. And I remember, you know, I was, as a guy, I'm always ready to debate the Protestants. Anytime they'd come around and say something, I'd be on it, you know, be ready to debate them. But this is what they would do. They would get on a megaphone, I mean, a huge megaphone, and say this. One individual in particular, most of them did this, said, and this is out loud on the megaphone, saying, it's not good to kill your children today, as the people were getting out of the car. We couldn't approach into the parking lot, but they'd get out of the parking lot. And in order for them to hear the message, this is what the Protestant would say. It's not good to kill your children today. And I think to myself now, and I don't know why I didn't think about it then. Maybe we were doing the rosary, we were involved in prayer. But this is what I think. I said, is that the best way to convince a woman to reflect on the most important decision of her life? Is that really the best way to convince somebody that they should reflect on the decision they're about to make, that it would really be with them for the rest of their lives? It really bothers me to think that, you know, we have regrets in this life. And one of the regrets I have is not going to some of these women who came in there with their boyfriends. A lot of them came in there alone or with a mother or somebody else, but a lot of them came without their boyfriends. And in my estimation, I think as a regret, thinking, you know, maybe I should have, you know, done a little bit more. Now, some of our sidewalk counselors, the Catholic women, would go to where the Protestants were, take their abuse, and then, you know, softly suggest, you know, I have some paperwork for you. You know, across the street, we have an area where you can get ultrasound of your child, and we'll help you. We'll give you diapers. Don't do this. And that was really the best case. That was really the most important thing that was happening. Most of the saves were attributed to the Catholics there, but it grew and grew and grew. And I go by there on Wednesdays, and I look back, I look at Father, I look at the Protestants there, and I think to myself, man, if we could only do it again. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jesus 911 with Eddie Chavez. We'll be right back. Don't leave. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Barbara Nicolosi, and we're having a women's conference here at the Sacred Heart Chapel in Covina on September 7th, 2019. This is going to be a great, great day for you to come and meet a bunch of new friends, wonderful Catholic women who want to deepen their Catholic faith and their understanding of themselves as women. You know, this era right now that we're in, so much confusion. What is it to be a man? What is it to be a woman? You know, the Catholic Church has a lot to say about this, and we're going to hear about them. We're going to hear about John Paul II's letter on women that he wrote from Mary Danielle Barber. She's going to talk about that. She's going to talk about Mary as a model for all of us. It's a topic that we can never reflect on too much. I'm going to talk about Teresa of Avila and the interior castle and how a mystical marriage is what all of us should be called to or are called to as Catholics in our prayer lives, and especially as women in the church. Aileen Blakowski is going to talk about motherhood and homeschooling. And then finally, we have Father Charles Murray. He's going to be the celebrant of the Eucharist. He's going to be here hearing confessions. It's going to be an amazing day. We're going to have an hour of adoration together, time to pray, time to laugh, eat, reflect, grow in our passion for our Catholic faith and our identity as Catholic women. You don't want to miss it. You want to come. You want to bring your friends. You want to bring your daughters, your nieces. That's really an affordable day. So go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and you can register for this conference or call 877-526-2151. The Women's Conference is going to be a great event for the Archdiocese of Los Angeles area, Southern California Catholics. You don't want to miss it.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Welcome back, 10-8 with Eddie Chavez here, Solo Man Car, King Car. Today on Jesus 911, Jess and Ruben and the whole crowd, Terry's even gone today. We'll be back next week, and so we're batting down the hatches here at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Ladies and gentlemen, we just gave you an article about a young lady, Ali Costil, that was killed in Mississippi by her boyfriend. And we can only speculate, but I think that in a court of law, they're going to be able to prove that this young man just did not want to accept the fact that she did not want to have an abortion. And he decided to go ahead and kill her and shot her a bunch of times, drove her 20 miles away from the college and dumped her body. So this is something that the society today is dealing with. You know, we talk a lot about the battles of life here at Jesus 911 and the other shows at Virgin Most Powerful, but we have to realize that this battle that we're talking about, abortion or sex before marriage, these things are what the youth of today are battling every day. Every day they're battling it. There's questions about it. There's curiosity going on in their heads. And then they go ahead and do it. And the reality is they don't like it. They want to get rid of it. They say, I don't want it. But sometimes, as in the case of this young lady, it's too late. And they have to deal with boyfriends like hers. But anyway, that's that. So we offer a prayer for her today that her soul and the souls of all the faithful departed through the mercy of God will rest in peace. Amen. The second story I want to talk about today is something that you get on the website and you'll see what I'm talking about here. There's a picture of a young man dressed as a woman, and he's showing some jewelry to a young lady during one of these drag queen hours. And this is the title of the article is Backlash. Drag Queen Story Hour Proves Detrimental to Libraries Seeking Increased Funding. So this is a battle that's going on. You know, the what's going on in the world is very much affected what's going on in the church. And this is one of the instances where we see the overlapping of such. So let's get into this article here. So Spokane, Washington, July 31st. Public libraries in Washington state are distancing themselves from a recent Drag Queen Story Hour event, which has library officials concerned that taxpayers will turn against increased funding for their particular library system. A Drag Queen Story Hour, they're calling it DQSH, held at a library in the city of Spokane, Washington in June, attracted national attention as 200 protesters were met with extreme measures by local law enforcement, with even snipers stationed atop the library roof to keep peaceful protesting moms in check. So most of these protesters were local activist mommies going there to protest against something that they found offensive. And, you know, all I need to do is look at this guy dressed as a woman showing a young girl. You know, I'm not sure where a parent has to be to allow a young lady there to approach somebody like this, because you would never do that anywhere outside of this and think your child was safe. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to explain a little bit about why Spokane Police Department would respond in such a manner, right? So, you know, people might say, oh my gosh, the police, what were they trying to do? Well, let's put it into perspective here. So the police department would respond in such a manner that I would also term this as an overkill situation, but probably because of lack of research and preparation. That's the reason why they did this. I assume this was done very quickly. They didn't have time to research and look at who was doing the protests. But remember, here is Washington State, right? And they're close to Oregon. And in Oregon and Washington, there's always these protests that are influenced by Antifa-style protests. So whenever there's a protest and, you know, one of these moral dilemmas where people are protesting it, I think the police department naturally responds by thinking, okay, this might be a Antifa thing. Things are going to go crazy. Let's go ahead and prepare for the worst. And that's what happened here, I believe. So that event in the city of Spokane seems to have tarnished the reputation of libraries in the county which surrounds it and shares the same name. While the city of Spokane, which operates its own separate library system from the county's, refuses to apologize for arresting and potentially risking the lives of protesters and exposing children to the incredibly controversial art of drag, whatever that is. I don't know what the art of drag is. I'll leave your imaginations to run with that. But the county library system is now making sure to publicly distance itself from the drag queen story, Our Fiasco. Now, as it turns out, local taxpayers are wholeheartedly opposed to these sickening child targeting events, which confusion over which library system is responsible is putting county library funding in jeopardy. So here you have the county saying, hey, wait a minute, it's not us. We haven't done this. But the city of Spokane, who has done this, they're the ones that are making it difficult for there to have more voter turnout for this $2 million they're asking for. And so this is what's going on here. As it turns out, local taxpayers are wholeheartedly opposed to these. Sickening things that are happening with the drag queen hours. So I think the public really is anti drag queen story time. Okay, but they just want to know who's funding it so they know who to protest against. Actually, this is very, this makes sense that a protesting entity is looking for the proper entity to protest. I think that makes perfect sense. It says Spokane County Library District leaders are asking voters for $2 million property tax increase, $2 million, to avoid laying off staff and closing libraries, according to a local news report by the Spokesman Review. But they fear the backlash from the city of Spokane library system, drag queen story, Our could turn off voters. And that's exactly what's happening. Jane Baker, Spokane County Library spokeswoman, said the district has received about 100 calls about the city's drag queen story hour since the event drew a considerable public presence both on the South Hill and downtown in June, continued the report. Many of the callers said they wouldn't vote for the levy because they were against the story hour or wanted to know if Spokane County Libraries were planning to host its own. So I think from the outside looking into the situation, it's important to realize that it's worth people to make calls. It's worth people to rattle the cages of some of these government officials, because the reality is that without that, these people go unchecked. And, by asking what the policy is and voicing your opinion, you continue the fight here. Okay, so here we go. No drag queen story hours will be held, declares Spokane County library leader. So contrary to the perception promoted by major media that drag queen hours are wildly popular, the spokeswoman for the Spokane County Library District indicated there has never been a request for one of these hours at any of the county's library. Baker said the library district tries to offer programs that Spokane County residents say they want, but no one has asked for a drag queen story hour there, reported the reporter related. She said that their current story hour is designed to help young children prepare for school and is led by trained library staff. Drag queen story hour, the kiss of death. Spokane County Library District Director Patrick Rowe went further and declared that the County Library District will not be hosting these hours. So they came out and said the County Library is not going to do that. Don't worry, you're not voting on our library. Your beef is with somebody else. According to Director Rowe, his County Library is working with voters that the city libraries are separate entities in order to head off any move to deny the additional funding being sought. Rowe wrote an op-ed titled No Drag Hour at Spokane County Library District Locations, but any readers welcome here, in which he aimed to distinguish the county libraries from those in the city. Rowe described the laudable education goals of his county library story times, which have not been co-opted by men garishly dressed in women's clothing. Rather than talk about what we're doing, we want to emphasize what Spokane County Library District is doing. The focus of the early literacy programs, such as a story time, is on preparing children for kindergarten by introducing the skills children need for learning. This is what the county is saying. Recognizing the alphabet, recognizing numbers, colors, shapes, and developing an array of social skills needed to prepare them for educational success. So herein lies the victory, ladies and gentlemen. This particular battle that we're talking about is a government official is now, they got, you know, this protest group, this entity of activist moms are have this government official tap dancing around trying to make a distinction between the county and the city of Spokane, which has introduced an evil and disordered event, not to mention unrequested event of a drag queen story hour. No different than a racist donning black face. No to gender appropriation. This is the beauty of this, is it says Anna Bohack created 500 moms strong, a grassroots group of women who have had to who have had enough with the sexualization of our children and the mockery of our femininity. Bohack said the drag queen story hour is misogynistic. Drag queens are very offensive to women. They are grotesque. They are grotesque, hyper-sexualized caricatures of women. They mock women and debase our womanhood and femininity. A drag queen is no different than a racist donning black face. There you go. There you have it. Here we have a discrimination taking place, and it doesn't seem like society is biting off and saying, oh, that's true. Yeah, don't let them dress up like that. Don't let them go to any more libraries, because our young children are seeing discrimination at its face. They're not doing that. They should be, but that goes to show you the intent of some of the things that are going on in today's society. This non-tolerance thing, it's just a scam, ladies and gentlemen. It's just phony. There is tolerance for stuff, and this is what it, that's this, you know, this, we're seeing it here. The library hosting such an event teaches our sons that women are just sexual objects, and it teaches our daughters that they must be overly sexualized to be desired. Enough is enough. We say no more to a political agenda aimed at degrading women and sexualizing children. We say no to gender appropriation. This is awesome, ladies and gentlemen. This is the kind of protest we need. Intellectual, informed protest against these type of things. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back. Jesus 911, don't go away.
Welcome, Daniel. You're on the line. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, I just wanted to share a testimony about Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I had a buddy at work who, you know, he's a lukewarm Catholic guy, and I wanted him to start listening to the Terry and Jesse show, so I kept telling him to download the app, and he kept putting me off. So one day, I grabbed his phone, and I downloaded the app for him. I went on vacation, and you know, I kept telling him to listen to it. He was kind of put me off. I came back from vacation. He comes to my cubicle and he says to me, hey, man, I've been listening to Terry and Jesse's show and it's great. And it's made a big impact in his life. The guy, he's going to weekly adoration a couple times a week. He goes to the mass in the morning. Mm-hmm. He's an on fire Catholic, and he promotes the Terry and Jesse show and the Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Wow. Daniel, what a testimony. And I want to encourage our listeners to get those cards by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and do what Daniel's doing. Go out and spread the faith by inviting people to listen to Virgin Most Powerful. Daniel, thanks for your testimony, brother. God love you.
You're welcome.
This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity. Be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
We'll be right back.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Welcome back to Jesus 911, ladies and gentlemen. It's Eddie Chavez here. We are 10-8. We are continuing with our Friday spiritual warfare and tactics training. And we just mentioned some stuff going on with this drag queen hour phenomenon happening in society today. Now, I haven't seen too many in L.A. I'm not sure. Maybe they're not doing that yet, or they've done it already. I don't know. But it's happening in other places in the country, and it's very interesting to see. And there's these moms that are fighting them, and they're having great success because there's funding involved. This is where the spiritual overlaps with the with everyday life, is that, you know, they want to continue doing what they want, but the reality is, if the voters take a stand, which they have in this situation, I think it's very powerful to say, hey, wait a minute, we don't enjoy what you're doing. I think it's immoral, and therefore we're going to take a stance against it. And you have government officials that are saying, hey, you know, here's the tap dance. Don't take the money from us. That's not us. That's somebody else. That's a city library, not a county library. So this is important. We need to understand the differences before we just react suddenly. We as a Catholic people, as a Christian people, need to formulate our protest in these regards. So that's what's important. Now, that's part of the fight here, but there's another part of the fight that I want to bring out. And there's actually a organization. It's called ALA. It stands for American Library Association, is working to not only promote these drag queen hours, but to teach librarians how to sneak these events into libraries in rural or conservative jurisdictions. So the ALA had a recent national conference providing libraries from across the country with strategies for advancing gender identity ideology in schools and finding ways to bring drag queen story times into public libraries, despite the objections of local communities. So you have, as a response to the activist moms here that are obviously winning, they have them up against the wall. They have them on the ropes, as Jesse would say. You have this other organization that's saying, hey, wait a minute. We want to find a way to get these things introduced without the funding. And this is also part of the fight. So it says here, the conference was held just as disturbing stories came to light about the drag queen hours held in public libraries on the West Coast. There you go. There's West Coast. I imagine that might be California. Young children were photographed lying on top of and crawling on top of a drag queen, something that goes against standard school, camp, and church child protection policies. While on the East Coast, a drag queen who read to a young child was discovered to be involved with numerous lurid and pornographic sexual businesses and activities. So we're allowing drag queens unchecked. There's been no investigation on them to make sure that they're not, you know, wanted, or they're not some kind of strange, you know, individual that's going to take advantage of this. We're allowing them to have personal time with our children. Meanwhile, in Texas, two drag queens who participated in a drag queen hour were revealed to be convicted sex offenders. You know, this is really where it goes into different overlapping issues here. Why is this allowed to happen and there's no check and balance for the individuals doing this. So the end of the article says this goal is to normalize abnormal, sexually deviant, homosexual behavior by enticing children to first question their sexuality, pro-family activist Georgia Kajewski says. The more children see men dressing up as women, the more normal it will become. And I agree, ladies and gentlemen, the more we allow children to see this, the more they become accustomed to it. And we know that what one generation tolerates, the next generation will accept. We're already there, depending on what part of the city you live in, or what part of the country you live in, excuse me. So we've got two problems. We've got abortion plaguing the society. We got this drag queen thing that's becoming more prevalent. And now here's how we're going to keep away from this. This is a solution that Virgin Most Powerful offers with the problems that it highlights here. But this is how to keep the devil away, according to St. John Bosco. If you do these things, the devil will never prevail against you, he says. John Bosco was a holy priest devoted to prayer and the recipient of many supernatural visions from God. He urged these spiritual experiences not only for his own benefit, but also when instructing the boys under his care. St. John Bosco started a school for poor boys whose fathers had been in prison or were in prison, giving them a safe place to sleep and stay off the streets. Now, St. John Bosco's father died when he was 2 years old, so he did have a certain soft place in his heart for this. But his mother gave him much love. So later he started a Salesians in order to care for boys. And even later, a school for girls. The order was called, I think, Mary Help of Christians. St. John Bosco died in 1888. In particular, he would frequently relate to the boys of the school how to stay protected against the devil. Below is his advice, and if followed faithfully, St. John Bosco claimed, the devil will never prevail against you. So there are two things the devil is deathly afraid of. One, fervent communions and frequent visits to the Blessed Sacrament. So this is what John, this is very simple advice. Do you want many graces? He asks. Visit him often. Do you want him to grant you only a few? Visit him seldom. Do you want the devil to attack you? He asks the boys. Rarely visit the Blessed Sacrament. Do you want the devil to flee from you? Visit Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament often. Do you want to overcome the devil? Take refuge at the feet of Jesus. Do you want to be overcome by the devil? Give up visiting Jesus. Visiting Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament is essential if you want to overcome the devil. Therefore, make frequent visits to Jesus. If we do that, the devil will never prevail against us. This is St. John Bosco's idea, his suggestions to the people under his care, to the boys under his patronage of how to keep the devil away. Always visit the Blessed Sacrament and receive communion often. And I have to say, you know, towards now the end of my life, senior part of my life, over 50, I've become more and more good with visiting Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. I didn't do so much when I was younger. Too much going on. I didn't have time to waste in a Catholic church. But the reality is, now in my old age, realizing how much we need Jesus, it comes a lot easier to me to go spend some hours. Sometimes it's quick. Sometimes I go out and kneel, and I'll just say, thank you, Lord, for the blessings. I need help with this and that. And so I've got to go. Thanks. Love you. Goodbye. That's what I do. But other times I sit there and I'll say a rosary. I'll take my time and spend half hour with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Often we go by after a confession on a Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening and just spend a little time there with Jesus, just thanking him for his mercy. This is so important for us to do. And then one of the other saints that I wanted to talk to you about was Saint Teresa of Avila. Now, St. Teresa of Avila's horrifying encounters with the devil are something that's written about. And I wanted to get into this quickly here so we can wrap up the show here. But this is a reality. St. Teresa of Avila was something that someone who frightened the devil very much. So many stories about her encounters with the devil. And so when we come back from the break, what I want to do is I want to make sure that we get into at least one of the things that St. Teresa, one encounter that St. Teresa of Avila went through, one encounter with the devil. And it was very revealing, very, very much something that we should pay attention to, because St. Teresa of Avila is a powerful person in the church. I think she's a doctor of the church. I may be wrong, but I think she is. And so we have to listen to people like this who already have lived life. They've lived through encounters with the devil. They know what works. For us to ignore somebody like St. Teresa of Avila is something that would be foolish on our part. So when we come back after the break, I want to get into St. Teresa of Avila's horrifying encounter with the devil. We'll start off by saying this. St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your strength, but with a temptation will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. That's in 1 Corinthians 10:13. So we understand this is by the permissive will of God, yes? This is by how God will test us, how God will allow the devil to encounter us. Most of us, it's just going to be temptation. Most of us, it's just going to be something where we have to deal with in life. And I have to tell you, as life gets, you know, goes on, we get older, things don't get easier. Things get a little more difficult. Sometimes things get a lot more difficult. And that's when we really know that there's got to be something more to life. There's got to be something more to life. There has to be something that really encapsulates the battle that we're in here. And so when we get back, we'll talk a little bit about St. Teresa of Avila. And we have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, these things are meant for our betterment. They're meant for us to follow them, follow the saints, follow their prayers. And that's what we're going to do when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, Eddie Chavez here on Jesus 911. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is Mary Danielle Barber, and I would like to invite you to join us here at the Sacred Heart Chapel in downtown Covina for a True Femininity Be Who You Are Women's Conference, Saturday, September 7, 2019, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Barbara Nicolosi and I will be speaking. It's $35 a person, and you can register at virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. We hope to see you at the Women's Conference, September 7th, 2019.
Jesus said to the apostles in Luke chapter 10, "Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me." According to Saint Boniface, in her voyage across the ocean of this world, the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on course. May our Lord help us remain ever faithful to His church, to aid and defend her.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support for the Terry and Jesse Show. We now have a program where you can donate your old jalopy, your old car that you don't want anymore, and 80% of that profit will come right back to the Terry and Jesse Show. You just call 855-500-7433. Tell them you want to donate your car to the Catholic Resource Center, and that will support us. Call 855-500-7433. Thank you, and God love you.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
We're coming back for the last segment here, but we're still 10-8. And I wanted to mention something about some of the saints. And we're going to talk right now about St. Teresa of Avila, but some of the saints were given terrible, terrible sufferings with the devil. I mean, personal attacks. And I think that's, for me, that's something that, you know, how bad can life get? How bad can our life, spiritual life get? Well, of course, you know, an encounter with the devil. And for me personally, it's looking at these certain encounters with evil and how the saints overcame them that makes me so happy, so glad to know, you know what? I'm not alone in this fight. I'm not alone here. When I'm up against the devil, I understand the importance of it. And I understand that if I'm in a state of grace, he can't touch me, regardless of the temptation, regardless of whatever's going on in my life that allows me to see and understand how evil comes into our lives. So this is what I want to talk about. This is what it says. It says in the article, such was the case for countless saints who were visibly tempted by demons, sometimes even physically assaulted by these evil creatures. These saints were strong in faith, and God allowed them to be tempted in such a way, but always provided a way of escape for them. So I remember Padre Pio, before he came into the priesthood, before he was ordained, was a child, would see creatures, would see a certain animal, and it would morph into the devil and actually beat him. You know, ladies and gentlemen, this is something that's incredible. You know, when you're ultimately going to become a saint, somebody that lives a life of sainthood, and you examine their earlier years, that's something you have to pay attention to. So here's somebody that was, you know, hadn't been ordained yet, hadn't been given the priesthood yet, had not had the the signs of Christ, the wounds of Christ yet, but yet he was able to overcome the temptations of the devil in a physical way. So he was beat up by the devil. Saint John Vianney, you know, after he was ordained, he had terrible encounters with the devil. The devil was, for example, one day for Saint John Vianney, the devil started his bed on fire. Can you imagine waking up and your bed's on fire? That's something that that's huge. And for me, knowing that some of these saints overcame that manifestation of the devil's power, which is limited, of course, we understand that. But to some degree, as human beings, we have to respect that power, right? If the devil can start a priest's bed on fire, certainly he can start Eddie Chavez's bed on fire. he could do a lot of things that are even more outrageous than that. So we have to have a certain respect for the devil. We have to have a certain respect for evil. We have to have a certain respect for demons. And this is what we're talking about. So in the life of St. Teresa of Avila, she ascended the great heights of sanctity and thus infuriated the devil. He sought to dissuade her from her spiritual journey and began to visit her. She recorded one such occasion in her autobiography and explains what made the devil flee. This is what she said. She says, once when I was in an oratory, he appeared on my left hand in an abominable form. As he spoke to me, I paid particular attention to his mouth, which was horrible. Now, this gives you an idea of this woman's sanctity. So if the devil appeared in my hand and began talking to me, the last thing I would do would be doing is focusing on his mouth. I would be in a state that you could not, you know, you would not recognize me because it'd be beyond that. But her, she's looking at him, talking to her while in her hand, and she was focusing on his mouth, which was horrible, she says. Out of his body, there seemed to be coming a great flame, which was intensely bright and cast no shadow. He told me in a horrible way that I needed... No, wait, let me try this. Try that again. He told me in a horrible way that I had indeed escaped out of his hands, but that he would still get a hold of me. Now, she says, I was very much afraid, and I made the sign of the cross as well as I could, whereupon he disappeared. So St. Teresa of Avila makes the sign of the cross when he's on her hand. But then she says, but immediately returned again. Oh boy. This would tell me, oh my gosh, even the sign of the cross is not good enough, is not strong enough to keep the devil away. Now, maybe in my case, that would have been true because I was in a state of grace like the way St. Teresa of Avila normally was. But she says, this happened twice running, and I did not know what to do. So here's St. Teresa of Avila, and she's a little bit in a panic. She's a little bit like, you know what? I've done this twice, and he does go away, but then he comes back immediately. And so I'm thinking to myself, oh my goodness, what would I do? And she's already thinking that. She's saying, hey, listen, I didn't know what to do. So she says, but there was some holy water there. So I flung some in the direction of the apparition, and it never came back. She says, from long experience, I've learned that there is nothing like holy water to put devils to flight and prevent them from coming back again. They also flee from the cross, but return. So holy water must have great virtue. So, ladies and gentlemen, the moral of the story here is, for St. Teresa of Avila, holy water was the way to go. Now, I'm sure we've seen it. You know, the prayer we say at the beginning of the show, right? Be gone, all you evil powers. The lion of the tribe of Judah has conquered. That has some power. That's an exorcism prayer. So you and I know that that works. But for St. Teresa of Avila, in this particular instance, it was holy water that trumped, we'll say, the cross. And so this is what she wanted to tell us, is that they also flee from the cross, yes, but return. So holy water must have great virtue. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, the reality is, yes, holy water does have great virtue. Holy water is one of the sacramentals of the church, as is a blessed cross. So they both have virtue, but for her, this worked. And the reality is, we have to take advantage of these situations. We have to take advantage of the times when there is no temptation, when we are in a state of grace, to use the sacramentals in our rooms and around the house with holy salt, especially somebody that's had some spiritual problems in the past, somebody that's had some experiments with more than just temptation in their life, somebody that has opened the doors where a demon may have entered, and you have a problem there. And so the reality is, your first step, go to confession. Second step, use the sacramentals. So you have to use holy water. You have to use, and we say this all the time, but I don't have any problem repeating it for new listeners or people that need to hear it again. Sacramentals have certain power. It says this: holy water is a sacramental of the church that invokes the saving power of God. Furthermore, holy water has a double meaning of reminding us of our baptism as well as a symbol of spiritual cleansing. Holy water is said to have great power over the devil, as the devil cannot stand this clean water, since he is entirely unclean for all eternity. It is a reminder of the water that flowed out of Christ's side on Calvary, which is a symbol of baptism, and brings to mind the day of the devil's defeat, Christ's crucifixion, and Christ's resurrection. So holy water reminds the devil that on Calvary, holy water came out of the side of Jesus. Water and blood came out of the side of Jesus when the soldier pierced his heart with a lance. This reminds the devil, this holy water, in some way, mystically, is connected to that water that came out of the side of Jesus. You know, this is something that's so powerful, ladies and gentlemen. We don't give it enough room in our life. Now, I have several bottles of exercised holy water in the home. Matter of fact, my daughter the other day, the last couple of days in a row, actually, she went thrifting and she bought some clothes. Now, here in LA, thrifting's big. So some of these young kids go and they buy, you know, clothing that was used before, and they go. So she goes and she spends some of her money there, and that's okay. It's cheap. And so what happened is she always brings me the clothes once she gets home, and she says, "Dad, bless this for me." And so last night I did one, the night before I did a couple others, and just a couple articles of clothing. So I get the holy water and I make the sign of the cross. I bless her and I say, "Lord Jesus Christ, by your precious blood and this holy water, forgive us our sins. Remove from us in this place and these items of clothing everything that is not of you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." This is a beautiful prayer. This is a prayer that's so effective, because some of the things that are in those thrift shops are stuff that I would not want to have to deal with if they were not blessed. So you and I have to understand that when we have temptation in our life, when we have evil presenting themselves the way it does, we have to use the sacramentals of the church. We have to use our weapons the best way we know how. And that's what we here at Virgin Most Powerful, and especially Jesus 91, are very happy to give you guys instruction on how to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us this week on Jesus 911. Stay tuned for Gary Machuda on Hands-On Apologetics. We'll be back next week with Jess Romero and Ruben Nava, and we're going to get into some more interesting topics next week that I'm sure, because of the type of training Jess was at, are going to blow your mind. So God bless you. Have a great, safe weekend. We'll see you next week on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. God bless.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.